When we have an opening hymn at Mass, we do not say the introductory rite, which today, the very first word is rejoice. Rejoice in Latin is laetare, so today is Laetare Sunday. If you noticed, how could you miss, unless you were born blind, Father and I are wearing a little different color. And I know that I've said this to many of you, you might have heard it before, but for the sake of the group, we'll make sure that we are all very clear on today's liturgical color. So, if I were to ask you to fill in the blank, and here's the sentence, Jesus blank from the dead. He rose from the dead. Rose is today's liturgical color, lest we be confused and think it be pink, because Jesus did not pink from the dead. We can see. We hear in today's gospel of the man that couldn't see. And at the time, it was thought that any infirmity, any malady that we would suffer was a direct result of our sinfulness or the sinfulness of our parents. So a child born with some malady, some deformation, blind, well, the child couldn't have done anything wrong. It must have been the parents' fault. Now, it's not that we're dealing with stupid people. They just don't know any better. We have the advantage, and it's been said in so many different circles, we stand on the shoulders of giants. So we have the advantage of wisdom, education, and enlightenment that help us understand certain things about the physical world. We kind of put aside that notion that bad things happen to you when you sin. Except my mother, who after I stubbed my toe told me that happened because I was mean to my sister, and God punished me. Does a loving father punish you? Or does a loving father demonstrate mercy and forgiveness and love? So the notion then that we come to understand is no one sinned that this man was born blind. But the fact that he was blind gave Jesus an opportunity for that teachable moment. It says in the very beginning of the gospel that Jesus passed by and he saw a man blind from birth. It wasn't as if Jesus was headed over to there to see the man born blind. But the evangelist chooses this notion for us that Jesus saw this opportunity to teach and to educate and to enlighten. And there's this whole battle between the Pharisees, the priestly class of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin has the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We could liken it ever so slightly to today's Congress, where there is the House of Representatives and there is a Senate. Slightly different jobs, but nonetheless come together. And one of the things they love to do is fight about the law. And always, you were wrong, but if we happen to do it, we're right. Because, well, we're the Pharisees. We can do whatever we want. So this whole challenge with this man, where did you come from? Who healed you? How did he do it? And then they try and get Jesus on a little sticking point. He worked on the Sabbath. All right, so what were those guys doing in session if they're not supposed to be working on the Sabbath, except to demonstrate to us that maybe they weren't really working? Jesus sees this moment. Jesus takes advantage of this moment. And as we look through the entire story, there's snippets of information throughout that help us understand more about our relationship with God and his desire to love each and every one of us and to bring us to a level of understanding that will help us get into the kingdom, because that is the end goal for each and every one of us, the kingdom. Well, it should be the end goal. Sometimes we get caught up in the things of the day, the things of today, the bills, the car not working right, the new tires that are needed. How's my 401k doing? Got to get that report done for next week. All these things of the day, this temporary life that we are leading at this moment, get in the way of our understanding that we are from God and we long to return home to God. That's our destiny. That's our mission. But Jesus is trying throughout those 3 years of his public ministry to get people to that understanding. Obviously, this man sinned because, or his parents did, because he's born blind. No. He's just been blind. And Jesus wants the Pharisees to understand that they are as blind as the blind man is. Now, of course, the argument immediately was, no, we can see just fine. Thank you very much. But you don't see what's in front of you. How often do we not see what's in front of us? Now, come on, I know some of you that wear glasses spent 5 minutes looking for them and they were on the top of your head. Been there, done that, right? Or can't find the cell phone and it's right there on the counter where you left it, a piece of paper fell on top of it. But things are right in front of us and we miss it. We miss sometimes understanding how much Jesus loves us. Sometimes we miss understanding what he was willing to do for us. And yet as Catholics, most of us have a crucifix in the house. You might be wearing one around your neck, and certainly in every church. That's what Jesus was willing to do for us. For your sinful behavior, for all that stuff you've done, he was willing to die for you. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he wants a relationship. But we don't see it. We don't get it. The Pharisees, by and large, didn't get it. So this man's in front of them. And Jesus, mixing his saliva with the ground. A lot of interpretations there. Including, Jesus takes from what he is divine, the saliva, mixes it with the earth to create something that is both earthly and divine that gives the power to heal. And then it's go wash in the pool. Now, what's interesting here is, if we think about it for a second, did the man really need to go wash? Jesus could have cured him right there. It could have been done. But again, the teachable moment here is, Jesus asks us to do things to demonstrate our willingness to be healed. Go and wash. For us in a more contemporary world, it's pray. Demonstrate your generosity. Demonstrate you're willing to be of service to fellow human beings. These are what Jesus asks of us. It's the call to us. It's the you need to do this, that command. That if we are true followers, we hear, we understand, we believe, and we act on it. This man acted on it. He went and washed. He followed Jesus' instructions to the letter. Did what was expected of him, and a miracle occurred. Now, we've got that whole tussle again with people that saw him that didn't know him. I'm sure he looks completely different now. He's standing upright instead of squatting near a wall, begging. He's standing upright and his eyes are opened, whether they had been calloused over or closed, we don't know. But of course, it's completely different. Is that the same guy? No, it's not like he just looks like him. Was it their unwillingness to recognize that a miracle had occurred? Again, right in front of them. The miracle that occurs that they failed to see. That they failed to understand God's healing power, God's desire through his Son, Jesus Christ, to bring us a message of eternal life, to make us better people, to make us better disciples, if we listen and if we hear and if we obey. There's the calling. Are you willing to do the work? Are you willing to do what's expected? Are you willing to live up to the tenets of the Catholic Church and do all the things that are required of you? We try. We do, but sometimes we fail. And you know, that's okay. Jesus fell 3 times on the way to Golgotha. But what did he do? He got back up. He needed to finish his mission, needed to finish that task. And we sometimes fall. Do we get back up? Do we pick up where we left off, or do we try and get back on the right path? Do we understand the sacramental healing that is involved in reconciliation and confession? Do we look to this moment to say, I'm going to get right with God? All this stuff that I've done, or as we say in prayer, or failed to do, all of this stuff I can lay before Jesus Christ and be forgiven of these sins. We Catholics have the benefit of the sacrament of reconciliation, where we can go and confess, which is a very adult thing to do, to stand up and say, I did this. As I help parents reach an understanding of the sacrament as we're getting their second graders ready to receive, sometimes we're embarrassed about the things that we've done and find it difficult to say it out loud, especially to Father. He's going to know who I am. He's going to look at me funny. He's going to think about it afterwards. Well, let you in on a little secret. And I've asked just about every priest I've ever encountered. Father, in generic terms, how much do you remember from the moments you're in confession? Not at all. And rationing it out in my mind, if I asked any of you to recall every conversation you had Friday at work, everybody you talked to, how successful will you be in that endeavor? Oh my gosh, I took 47 phone calls. How am I supposed to remember the details of any one of them? Right. You're in the moment. You answered that difficult question, dealt with that difficult person or that difficult issue with that person. You handled it to the best of your ability, and then you moved on to the next scenario. And the same is true in the sacrament of reconciliation. Father's not there to condemn. He's there to heal. He's acting in the person of Christ. It is Jesus Christ that absolves you. But we human beings really do appreciate hearing the words. Yes, you can pray to the Lord for forgiveness. Absolutely do that. Go directly to God and say, I'm sorry. But then there's that moment when we get to be an adult and we get to stand up and say, I did this. Forgive me, for I have sinned. And no matter how embarrassing it is, no matter how difficult it was to say those words, I also remind the parents that if you believe what we were taught in the Baltimore Catechism going way back, where is God? The answer is, everywhere. Well, God was right there when you committed the sin. He saw it firsthand. You just have to fess up. You just have to admit it. That's all. Admit to the priest that thing God knows you already did. And your sins are forgiven. We don't need to be cured of that physical blindness. We need to be cured of our emotional blindness and our spiritual blindness. We need to be able to see that which is right in front of us, recognize it for what it is, and if it's from God, to give thanks for the gift. We'll receive the Eucharist in just a few moments. What a gift. Eucharist, meaning thanksgiving. Why do you show up here? To celebrate in this moment of thanksgiving. What are you supposed to be thankful for? The breath in your lungs, the blood circulating through your veins, the fact that you have life. And even if there are challenges and difficulties out there, and there are, you're here at this moment to thank God for the gifts you've been given. And when we're given gifts, we often want to repay. Now, it's very simple to go somewhere like, gee, you know, I got a birthday gift and I got to write a thank you note or say thank you to the person. And there could be absolutely some true desire to reciprocate. Let's put this in a little bit more drastic moment. For some strange reason, you forgot to fill up your gas tank. And you're stranded on the side of the road. You got a pocket full of cash, but there's not a gas pump in sight. And someone pulls up and says, can I help? And you say, I ran out of gas. That embarrassing moment. And they say, oh, I just happened to get some. I got a lawn mowing service and I got 4 cans here. Let me give you a few gallons. Oh, thank you so much. And they chug, 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 put some gas in your tank so you can get to the next gas station. How thankful are you? Are you $3 a gallon thankful? So it's two gallons, 1, 2. If you got a pocket full of money, you're going to give them $40 or $60, aren't you? Because you're so grateful. You are so thankful for that moment that you are no longer stranded. It's not just the price of the gallon of gas anymore. It's the fact that someone reached out and did something for you, and you wish to repay them for that generosity, for that gift. In that light, then, how generous should we be back to God? We should express it in prayer every day. Thank you, Lord, I just got out of bed. Thank you, Lord, I caught all the green lights on the way to work. And the list can go on and on and on. Thank you, Lord, there's cereal in the cabinet. Oh, and the milk isn't sour yet. Score. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many times can you say it in a day? How many times should you say it in a day? What was this man born blind thinking? It might not be that dramatic in our lives, but nonetheless, the same level of gratitude should be present in everything that we do, because our very life, our very existence, our very opportunity to be human is a gift from God. And as we understand this, then we're making sure that we are thanking God through our prayer. We are thanking God through our service to charitable organizations here at the parish, at the neighborhood, in your family, in your workplace. This opportunity to be of service to help one another. And of course, through the gift of generosity. And there's so very many ways that that happens in the course of our lives. Whether it's your offertory here at church, whether it's the lilies you're going to buy next week when the Boy Scouts are here, or the Girl Scout cookies, all that money going to good causes, helping people out, or we hope that it is. How blind are we? How much do we fail to see? How much do we fail to recognize as right here in our lives, as gifts from God that are given to us to demonstrate how much He loves us? Let's open our eyes. Let's look around. Let's pay attention. Let's just see in our lives on a daily basis how many times God blesses us and gives us gifts. And in return, demonstrate our love for Him through the way we offer it back.